Our speaker today is Jason Reed, our student pastor.
Prepare for any type of storm, natural disaster for the most part. We all have a little device in our pocket. We could pull it out and for the most part, we can check it and we'll know what the weather's going to be today. There are some surprises, but we have that technology, and it's a great technology to have. But there are storms in life, they're different. They don't announce that they're coming. And sometimes they don't announce their presence until it's too late. They never give us time to prepare. So what do we do when those things come into our life and we're faced with those things? And a lot of times, as pastors, we speak to you from the Word and from truth and from different things going on in our life. And this sermon today comes from the direct aspect of facing storms in my life. As many of you know, I lost my father 2 weeks tomorrow, and I'll do my best to get through this. So I said, man, what better sermon than talking about storms? And how have I gotten through it? How can you get through it? Because we're all going to face storms. So with that said, we're going to look at a man who faced a storm. His name was Horatio Spafford. It's a video. So this video is going to serve as an introduction to my sermon. It's a lengthy video. So settle in, prepare yourself, and just look at the story of this man. And I'm going to come back up and follow this up a little bit. So guys, go ahead. I hope you enjoyed that video. This man had a heavenly mindset, and he was focused on Jesus. And that's how he responded to that tragic loss in his life. That hymn, as well as my soul, is an amazing hymn. But when you pair it with the tragedy in which Horatio was faced with when he wrote that, it just adds something so much more to that, that he looked to Christ in that time. So we do not know when the storms are coming, but we know who calms the storms. And our continuous walk with Christ is what matters. It's what draws us through. We don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on the Creator of the universe. And that's the hope that we have. You see, man has the capability to destroy this world, but he does not have the power to perfect it. The psalmist tells us that power belongs to God in Psalm 62:11. He says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 1 that since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, have been understood through what has been made. The more man explores the universe, the more amazing and awesome creation becomes. Listen to this. Telescopes can take us some 4 billion light years into space, and yet we have not come near the edge of the universe. The Earth spins on its axis 1,000 miles an hour. It travels in a 580 million mile orbit around the sun at 8,000 miles a minute. That's the power of our God and Savior. That's who we trust our lives in when we say, God, I trust you. I lay down my life, here it is, and I follow you. And I seek you with my whole heart. That's the God we serve. That's who brings us through the storms. Jesus upholds all things. This includes you and me. Here's what you need to know about life storms in general. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's those who are experiencing a crisis now, as we sit here, or those who are about to experience a crisis. You're either in a storm or you're headed into a storm. That's the messy world we live in now that sin has entered it. At creation, God ordained man to be the king of the earth, to rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds and the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. He tells us that in Genesis chapter 1. But when man fell into sin, he lost his rule over earth. And with the rest of the earth, man was cursed and corrupted The control of the earth fell into the hands of Satan, and now he reigns as ruler of this world. This is not for us. Christian, this world's not for us. We're just passing through. There will be storms that come, and how we face those storms really tell us who we are, who we trust in. Man's sin, earth's corruption, and Satan's rule, man, they've brought a mess. Sickness and pain and death and hardship, sorrow, war, falsehood, lying, deceiving, hunger, natural disasters, demonic activity, every other evil thing that you can think of, we're faced because of man's sin, because Satan is ruler of this world. But that's not what God has for us. From the beginning, God had a plan of redemption for both man and the earth. In the coming kingdom, God's ultimate plan for earth will be restoration. Without seeing pain, without seeing disease, hardship, sorrow, disaster, demonic activity, all those things will pass. It's very obvious that man cannot solve natural problems, the natural problems of this world. Someone has said that for every problem science solves, six others are created in its place. The greater our advancements, the more severe the complications. Even less can man solve his moral and his spiritual problems. As we become more advanced in psychology, criminology, we're more engulfed in psychological disorders, in crime, in war. The power to reverse the curse and bring a new heaven and a new earth not only is beyond man, but it's really inconceivable to man. A lot of faith goes into that. We cannot imagine the power necessary to make such a radical recreation of the universe any more than we can imagine the power it took to create it, to sustain it. And because of this, because of the world we live in, the Bible tells us this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 45. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Jesus himself said, in this godless world, you'll continue to experience difficulties. But take heart. This is awesome right here. I have conquered the world. John 16:33 tells us that. And this is what Horatio Spafford knew. We'll sing that song here in a little while. Again, listen to the words as we go through that. A man that just lost his daughters stopped at the very spot that ship sank, and he penned the words, "It is well with my soul." And only God can give you that peace, church family. That only comes from God. He had a heavenly mindset. Luke 9:23, you could take this verse and put it into memory. Jesus said, if you follow me, you just must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And that's what it looks like. If we're going to survive in this world, if we're going to have a heavenly mindset, if we're going to reflect Jesus in every aspect of our life, we got to do a lot of denying. If you're anything like me, you have to do a lot of denying. Deny our selfishness and seek Christ in everything that we do. The simple fact is we can't control whether the storms will come into our life, but we can control how we respond to those storms. What will our response be? The simple fact is we cannot control whether how we respond to those. We can't control. They're coming. There's no doubt about that. And some of you are sitting out here today and you're in a storm. And you're facing that storm. And you have to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing through this storm. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at a storm, a literal storm that came into the lives of Jesus' disciples. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and they woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it holds, and no matter where we are or what we're going through, where you're there to walk through that journey with us. I pray you bless us as a church this morning as we look into your word. I pray you'll be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Gospels, we see Jesus calling his disciples. What's he say to them? Does anybody remember? Follow me. That's right. He says, follow me. So the disciples follow Jesus. Where did that lead them? Well, in this case, it led them directly into a storm. See, Jesus didn't say, follow me and your life will be easy. Follow me, there'll be no stress. There'll be no heartache. And we often think that the Christian life is going to be easy. It's the easy way out, but it's not. We can look all around us. Just recently, in Sri Lanka, and the devastation that took place there, with all the Christians and their families. Cancer, sickness, relationships. I had to throw this one in there. Moms, listen, if you have kids, if you're a mom and you have kids in your house, you're in a daily storm. I live with my wife. I see what my kids put her through. And it's a daily walk. It's a daily storm. We have Ruthie. And our little girl's nickname is Ruthless Ruthie. It used to be Toothless Ruthie. But she grew up and got teeth, so we had to change the nickname, and now it's Ruthless Ruthie. And that's her wrestling name. See, in my house, we all have wrestling names. I don't know what kind of house you live in, but we have a crazy house. We run around, and we have like WWE night in the living room, and we all go get our dress on, our wrestling outfit on, and we have wrestling night. But Ruthless Ruthie fits her. So moms, I'm joking about that, but I understand the storm that it is to be a mom, to point your kids to Christ, to reflect Christ in your homes when all those little crazy kids are running around. But we can only do that. We can only face these tragedies in life or these circumstances in life with daily coming before Christ and denying ourselves. Like the disciples, we can't escape the storms. Sometimes we think these hardships come because of sin or we're doing something wrong. But this certainly wasn't true in the case of these disciples. They followed Christ. They were there with Christ. They committed their life to following him, yet they were still faced with a storm in life. So what can we learn from this story? Number one, that storms are coming. This was a serious storm. You got to understand, these were seasoned fishermen. These weren't just some guys that went and got in a boat. Jesus called them. What were they doing? What were many of them doing when Jesus called them? They were mending their nets. They were fishing. They were seasoned men. And yet they come to Jesus and they're pleading for their life. I'm sure before they got to that point that they were doing a lot of stuff to try to get the water out of the boat, try to keep that boat from sinking, but it wasn't happening. They came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, we're dying." You got to understand that they're on the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if you know much about the Sea of Galilee, but it's a little below sea level. And there's mountains all around it. So it's kind of like a famous lake around here, Lake Jocassee. If y'all are boaters or ever been out on Lake Jocassee, you have to be really careful with Lake Jocassee, because when a storm comes up on the Lake Jocassee and you're in a little fishing boat or a kayak, I have a kayak. I can't afford a fishing boat, but I love my kayak. But if a storm comes up and you get stuck on Lake Jocassee, you're in trouble. We got any fishermen in here? Anybody on Lake familiar with Lake Jocassee? Was that true? Yeah, it's true. And it can mess you up very quickly. Sea of Galilee is the same way. The wind comes off the high mountains, comes into it, and it just turns into a devastating place to be. So I can imagine this storm. It is really a storm. These fishermen thought that they were about to die. And they went to Jesus. And said, "Jesus, help us. We're perishing." And Jesus was asleep. I've been in a similar situation, not quite as drastic, but me and Sarah went on a cruise a couple years ago, and we got a balcony, and it was the lowest balcony on the cruise ship, and we got into a storm that night, and I thought it was going to be fun. Sarah wouldn't go near the balcony. I mean, there was a bad storm. The whole cruise ship was rocking. You couldn't even walk on it. And I was like, I'm going to go out on the balcony. This is going to be cool. I'm going to check it out. So I walked out on the balcony, and I'm sitting there, and it takes a lot. There's not much that scares me as far as stuff like this, but I was scared. I got on that balcony, and that cruise ship was just rocking, and the waves, I mean, they had to be, I mean, I could be exaggerating a little bit, but 20 or 30 feet, they felt like they were coming up on the balcony. So I got in there, and I shut the glass, and I was like, I don't want any part of that. That's scary. If you got swept off of there, you're in trouble. But that storm was powerful. It had that huge cruise ship rocking. So as I read the story and I prepared the sermon, I just thought about what kind of boat the disciples must be on compared to that cruise ship, and I didn't want any part of it. But we see Jesus was sleeping. Have you ever felt that God was asleep? Have you ever felt alone, that no one cares? A lot of times when we're going through storms, when we're going through tragedy in life, we feel this way. We feel that no one else understands, but you're not alone. Christ is there with you. And believe me, Satan puts that on, that he wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel that no one cares. He wants you to feel that you're helpless, but you're not. It can be a disheartening feeling. Oftentimes, as a pastor, we know this feeling on Sundays. I know why y'all sit in those back chairs. I sit in one of those chairs the other week, and I kind of leaned back, and I had a headrest back behind me. So I'm watching you all in those back chairs, resting your head back there against the wall. But Jesus was asleep because he rested with confidence in the will of the Father. Christian, you also can rest in confidence that Christ has you. He cared for you enough to go to the cross and make a way for you to avoid punishment, to avoid hell. He cares for you. If you're sitting here today and you're not a Christian, that extends to you. He had confidence in the Father because the storms are coming. So what should we do? Cry out to Jesus, just as the disciples did. They thought they were dying. They cried out to Jesus. Listen, we don't have to offer pretty little prayers. I hear it all the time. My teenagers say, I don't know how to pray. And I always tell them, pray from your heart. We're so worried that what someone's going to think. Who cares? And those of you that do care, stop being picky. All you English teachers out there, take a break for a minute. Relax. Quit criticizing everything. Where's Shayla? There she is. She's the English teacher. Relax a little bit. Listen, we're people. We're messy. We're in this together. We do not have to have it all together. I know on Sunday, we're supposed to look like we have it all together, but we don't. It's like, y'all heard, this is an old joke, but it's still funny. You've heard the joke about moms when they answer their phone, right? They're just screaming at their kids, and I'll throw dads in there too, because I'm guilty of this too. And just screaming, what are you doing? Yeah, hello? Yeah, you know, just, no, everything's fine. Listen, your parents, you get it. That's life. That's the way it goes. But we're messy. We don't want anybody else to know that we do not have it together. But there's often times that we do not have it together. Oftentimes it's when people's not looking, but there's those times where you do it in front of people. You ever do stupid things in front of people? That's the worst. When you do it by yourself, it's fine. I was joking the other day, my little nephew bent down to pick something up, and there was a table there. Well, he hit his head on that table. And I laughed at him because I was upstairs at my house and I was working. I had some sawhorses set up and there was a pencil underneath it. Well, I needed the pencil. Well, what did I do? I went down to get the pencil and forgot about the table. And I just, oh. And I was kidding. I said, you know, when kids hit their head on the table like that, they cry. You want to know what an adult does when he hits his head on the table like that? I'm not going to tell you. But it was, so I laughed because I understood what he was going through. And at that moment, I was like, "What? How did I just do that?" Well, I tell you, because I'm a mess. I do all kinds of crazy things, and a lot of times they're in private and I get to shake it off, but a lot of times it's in front of Sarah or the students and they give me a hard time. But Jesus is always there to help us. The book of Psalms is a great picture of messy people. We see all through the book of Psalms, we see David coming before God and just writing out his heart and saying, God, help me. It's Jesus who is there. It's us who look away. It's us who wonder. It's never Jesus. Jesus is there when we cry out to him. Number three, God's purpose in the storm. There is a purpose for the storms that we go through in life. Why does God allow them? Maybe you're in a storm right now and you're praying that God will stop it, but it's only gotten worse. It's been going on for a long time. God, why? There are really no easy answers to that question. I wish I could say that all you have to do is be faithful and continue to look to Christ and it'll go away. If I knew the answers to why those things happen, I probably wouldn't be standing here. I'd probably be a rich man figuring out everybody's problems. But we have problems. We're either in them now or we're going to be in them in the near future. Know this, where there are no trials in life, there'll be no triumphs. And I know you are out there, and you could probably all attest to this is truth. If you lived any length of time, you could probably say, yeah, I know, I've been through a trial. God showed me triumph. But sometimes we just need to be reassured of the truth that God is there. Listen to this quote, the hammer shatters glass, but it also forges steel. God often uses the trials and the hardships in our life to draw us closer to him. Y'all seen the poem Footprints? The little, it's everywhere. But you see, it's got it like a sandy beach, and there's one set of footprints on the beach, and are two sets that turn into one set, and the guy or the woman, he says, God, I see you walking through life with me. And just during this, the hardest time of my life right here, I look, and there's only one set of footprints. You left me. And in that poem, he says, no, during the hardest time in your life, during that moment of your life, I didn't leave you. I picked you up, and I carried you. That's the God we serve. He is going to be there. He's not going to leave you during the storm. Psalms 23. I've been going through this song with my kids, and they haven't memorized, except Ruthie. Ruthless Ruthie. She's not there yet. But Carly and Jace have been memorizing this. This is the Psalm of David, and he knows about being a shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The setting's calm. It's peaceful. The green grass, a stream. I can just imagine laying there underneath a shade tree. But then it goes on, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What a shift. We signed up for green pastures and the still waters, right? Now we're talking about valleys and shadows and enemies. But we know, even as a child of God, that we face the valleys as well as the green pastures. We'll go through storms as well as relax in the shade of the day. Our hope as a believer is Christ never leaves us. He'll bring us all through that. All that we're faced with, he'll bring us through it. Through those valleys, we learn some of the most important lessons. Fruit doesn't grow in the mountaintops. It grows in the valleys. When you go hiking and you get to the mountaintop and you look out over the valleys, man, the valley's green. That's where the growth is. And wouldn't it be nice to sit there and stay on that mountaintop? But God's called you to continue. And you have to go through the valley to reach the next mountaintop. I'm an Oakland Raiders fan. And I often get told that you cannot be an Oakland Raiders fan and be a pastor. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, I am. I'm a diehard Oakland Raiders fan. You talk junk about it, I'll let you have it. I'm just kidding. That's what the Raiders are known for. And in fact, I went to a game. And my uncle lived out in Las Vegas, and I flew out there. And we drove from Las Vegas to Oakland. I don't know if y'all have ever been in that part of the country, but it was awesome. We drove through California, through like Fresno, and down in the valleys were just fruit trees everywhere. It was beautiful. The valleys were just amazing. And then the next minute, you'd be up on a mountain, and going back through a valley. But it was just awesome to see the growth in the valleys. And it just brought me back when I thought about the valleys and the mountaintops, that story. It just brought me back to that, how much truth it is. The fruit is in the valleys. They were protected from the wind. They got a lot of the water, the nutrients. In the valleys is oftentimes where we grow. How could David get through the valley as he wrote Psalms 23? How did he get through it? Well, he tells us, says this right here, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Christian, that is both the promise and the hope that we have. God is with us as we face storms. And it can be the everyday life. Like I used the mom as the example. Sometimes the storms are in the everyday life of getting through every day. But we do that by denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Christ. God is with you. He will be with you in the storm, no matter how severe. And in closing, it's up to us to have a heavenly focus, to stay firmly settled on Jesus and His foundation. Christian believer, do you set before God every day? When you face your storms in life, who will you turn to? Who will you trust? Where will you find comfort? Because it's not if you're going to go through the storm, but it's when you're going to go through the storm. And if you're like me, life's messy. And I need Christ daily. And I'm here to encourage you. You need Christ daily. So during this time of invitation, the altar's open. Maybe you need to pray about a storm. Maybe you're in one now. I'm going to be here. I'll pray with you. Maybe you're not a believer this morning. You can't do it without Christ. Maybe now's the time for salvation. Maybe you want to join this good church. This is your time to respond to Christ. Now, we're going to sing the whole song of invitation this morning, even if we don't have any response, because we're going to sing it as well. I want you to listen to the words. And now you know what Horatio Spafford was going through when he wrote this song. Now's your time.